Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan. Whether this tilak comes in, you can start it. Yeah, this chamber delegate.
Don't come in the video. Please come.
It's not possible to bring everybody in the video. Tomorrow we have to arrange it in such a way that, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Mukham Karoti Vacharam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bandhu Shri Gurum Dinataranam. Yat Kripa Tamaham Bandhu Shri Gurum Dinataranam. Today is our third day of the Varnashrama course, and we are studying from the 11th chapter of the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is entitled A Perfect Society for Social Classes. So our first class was actually giving an overview and the introduction of the entire module for the 1 month. And yesterday we covered texts 1 to 4. Today we're doing 5 to 7. And as I mentioned yesterday, the main verse we will be reading, deciding, which also is, I would say, one of the most important verses in all of the 5 chapters. This is the beginning of Narada Muni's presentation, explanation regarding Varnashrama Dharma. And text number 7 is a verse that should be memorized. It is, as we will see, it is touching on very essential aspects in connection with the understanding of Dharma. So we'll go directly to text number 7. And as we did yesterday, and as we will do in all the classes, whatever other verses are there, we will just read the translation and not the purports, but we will read the purport of the text we are studying. So this is text number 7. Kindly repeat after me. Dharma Moolam Hi Bhagavan
Bhagavan
Sarva
Sarva
Vedamayo
Vedamayo
Harihi
Harihi
Smritam
Smritam
Cha
Cha
Tad
Tad
Vidam
Vidam
Rajan
Rajan
Yena
Yena
Chatmi I'm sorry Chatma
Chatma
Prasidati
Prasidati
Dharma Mulam Hi Bhagavan
Dharma Mulam Hi Bhagavan
Sarva Vidamayo Harihi
Sarva Vidamayo Harihi
Smritam Cha Tad Vidam Rajan
Smritam Cha Tad Vidam Rajan
Yena Chatma Prasidati
Yena Chatma Prasidati
Dharma Mulam Hi Bhagavan
Dharma Mulam Hi Bhagavan
Sarva Vidamayo Harihi
Sarva Vidamayo Harihi
Smritam Cha Tad Vidam Rajan
Smritam Cha Tad Vidam Rajan
Yena Chatma Prasidati
Yena Chatma Prasidati
Dharma Mulam Hi Bhagavan
Dharma Mulam Hi Bhagavan
Sarva Vidamayo Harihi
Sarva Vidamayo Harihi
Smritam Cha Tad Vidam Rajan
Smritam Cha Tad Vidam Rajan
Yena Chatma Prasidati
Yena Chatma Prasidati
Dharma Mulam
Dharma Mulam
The root of religious principles
The root of religious principles
He
indeed
Bhagavan,
Bhagavan,
Supreme Personality of Godhead,
Supreme Personality of Godhead,
Sarva Vidamayaha,
Sarva Vidamayaha,
the essence of all Vedic knowledge,
the essence of all Vedic knowledge,
Harihi,
Harihi,
the Supreme Being,
Supreme Being,
Smritam Cha,
Smritam Cha,
and the Scriptures,
and the Scriptures.
Tat Vidam,
Vidam
of those who know the Supreme Lord,
Rajan,
Rajan,
O King,
Yena,
Yena,
by which religious principle,
Cha,
also,
Atma,
the soul,
mind,
body,
body,
and everything. Prasidati, become fully satisfied. So before reading the purport, we will read the translation to text number 5. Sri Narada Muni said, after first offering my obeisances unto Lord Krishna, the protector of the religious principles of all living entities, let me explain the principles of the eternal religious system of which I have heard from the mouth of Narayana. Text number 6. Lord Narayan, along with his partial manifestation, Nara, appeared in this world through the daughter of Daksha Maharaj, known as Murti. He was begotten by Dharma Maharaj for the benefit of all living entities. Even now, he is still engaged in executing great austerities near the place known as Badrikashram. Badrikashram. And no purport. Text 7 that we just read. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Being, the Personality of Godhead, is the essence of all Vedic knowledge, the root of all religious principles, and the memory of great authorities. O King Yudhisthira, this principle of religion is to be understood as evidence. On the basis of this religious principle, everything is satisfied, including one's mind, soul, and even one's body. Those who have read and studied the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam will undoubtedly find a very close resemblance to a very well known and often quoted verse, which begins with, anyone know? I'll just, the last two lines should give you the clue. Smritam cha tadvidam rajam yena chatma prasidati. Not that one that I'm thinking of. It's very close. No. I mean, these are all wonderful verses. Sabai pumsam paro dharmo yato bhakti radhakshate ahaitu kiya pratihata yayatma suprasidati. Practically the same words. Yena satma prasidati here. And the other verse is also referring to atma prasidati, suprasidati. One of the, before we read the purport, in the translation, Srila Prabhupada has translated, O King Yudhisthira, this principle of religion is to be understood as evidence. This principle of religion is to be understood, Hare Krishna. As evidence. We will see when we read the purport how this sentence is very important. Why it is important? Because in our Shastra, Vedic literatures, what are the two main divisions of Shastra? One is called Paravidya and one is called Aparavidya. Paravidya refers to Smriti Shastra. Smriti Shastra. Smriti is what is directly revealed or given by Krishna. What Lord Brahma heard directly from Krishna when he had darshan. Smriti Shastra. Sruti. Sruti Shastra. Sruti was is heard, what has come from Krishna. And that is primarily of a transcendental spiritual nature. The other division of our Vedic literatures, and of course this is standard knowledge. Standard knowledge means unchanging knowledge. Very important to understand. So the other portion is Smriti Shastra. Smriti is what self-realized souls have, we could say, given or added to the Shastra. And they deal with a lot of material knowledge, material sciences. So what is being explained here is that actually the Smriti section of the Vedas is meant to serve as evidence for the Sruti. For example, if one claims to be a Vaishnava, then the practical or external evidence of this will be that he is wearing tilak, having kuntimala, and chanting Hare Krishna, amongst other things. Means there has to be some external symptoms that actually demonstrate the philosophy. This is a very important point, actually. It means that we cannot simply philosophize, we must live the philosophy.
And that's why, as we will read the purport, we should keep in mind something that will come up many times and needs to come up again and again: our proper understanding of dharma. Our proper understanding of dharma on two levels. We touched on that a little bit yesterday, the spiritual svadharma. The spiritual svadharma of every atma, of every spirit soul, which is, of course, bhakti, devotional service. That is our eternal duty, occupation, responsibility as eternal spirit souls. Jiver swarup hoy Krishna nityadas. And the other level of dharma, especially important for all of us who find ourselves in this material world, which is also referred to as svadharma, our material svadharma, because we are embodied. We have this material body. We are living in the material world. We are dealing with the material prakriti. So there is, Bhagavad Gita explains, isn't it? There is para prakriti and apara prakriti. Para prakriti being atma, spiritual, and apara prakriti means the material energy. And this body is made up of that material energy, apara prakriti. So the material svadharma is found especially in the Smriti section of the Vedas. And it covers all kinds of duties and responsibilities within what we call the Varnasrama Dharma. So to make it simple to remember, our spiritual Svadharma, we can call it Bhagavat Dharma, and our material Svadharma, we can call it Varnasrama Dharma. Previously, the term Daivavarnasrama was not so much used. It became in use, or it became popular with Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and then further continued by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and then by Srila Prabhupada. So we speak about and read, sometimes we read Daivi Varnasrama, or sometimes Daiva. Both are seemingly can be used, have been used. So what we should try to understand from this is that if one really understands about dharma, the spiritual dharma of the soul and the material dharma of this conditioned body, then one will be able to fuse together, mix or harmonize together the bhakti element of life and also the perfect system that Krishna has given for the conditioned souls in the material world, which is Varnasrama Dharma. That's why this chapter and the next one also, and even a third one of the five, three of the five chapters have the word perfect. You know, like this chapter is the perfect society for social divisions, the varnas. In other words, the varnas, and then in the next chapter, chapter 12, it will be also the same title, The Perfect Society for Spiritual Divisions, Ashramas. In other words, the four varnas and the four ashramas, when applied according to how Krishna has designated them, will end up in when properly applied, will end up in something, in some perfection. There are different degrees of perfection. Ultimate perfection, of course, is only attainable when we reach the spiritual kingdom. But even while we are here in the material world, we can actually become perfection. Actually means attaining self-realization, isn't it? Or becoming, as Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, Mahatmas. Mahatmanas tamam partham daivim prakritim asvitaha. When one takes full shelter of the daivi prakriti, when one attains the level of, we could say, uttamadhikari, self-realized, perfect, then perfection is within one's hand, so to speak. And therefore it is said that one is no longer, although one may be in the material world, one is no longer in the material world. At least one's consciousness. One's consciousness is no longer in the material world, although this material body may still be in the material world. So, the important point to remember here, just to summarize, and then we can read now the purport, is that our understanding of dharma on its highest level means spiritual dharma. Of course, spiritual dharma can stand on its own, but for those who are conditioned here in the material world, means all of us, we need to work within the framework created by Krishna, given by Krishna. And that is why Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he explains that even for self-liberated souls, even for Vaishnavas, very elevated Vaishnavas, they respect and work within the system of Varnasrama, because it's created by Krishna. It's a perfect system. It is the system, the one and only system in the material world, whereby more easily one can advance in Krishna consciousness, whereby society can function in its most ideal way. So let us see what Prabhupada explains here in the purport. But some of that is we've touched on a little bit. So purport by Srila Prabhupada, as stated by Jamaraj, dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. Jamaraj, the representative of the Lord who takes care of the living end of the living beings after their death, gives his verdict as to how and when the living being will change his body. He is the authority, and he says that the religious principles consist of the codes and laws given by God. No one can manufacture religion, and therefore manufactured religious systems are rejected by the followers of the Vedic principles. The second verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Dharma Projito Kaidvatra. Rejecting all materially contaminated religious principles or systems. Shukadev Goswami will explain what is the actual unalloyed devotional system or religious system. In the Bhagavad Gita 15:15, it is said, Vedaischa sarvair aham eva vedyaha. Vedic knowledge means to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Therefore, whether one speaks of the Vedas, scriptures, religion, or the principles of everyone's occupational duty, all of them must aim at understanding Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam therefore concludes the same verse we quoted
a few minutes ago, Sabai Pumsam Parodharmo, Jato Bharti Radhokshaji, Ahaitukiya Pratihata Yayatma Suprasiditi. First canto, second chapter, text number 6. In other words, religious principles aim at learning how to render transcendental loving service to the Lord. That service must be unmotivated and unchecked by material conditions. It means that when we take up material duties and responsibilities, because we are here in the material world, those so-called material duties and responsibilities, which include, for example, family life, which includes professions, different professions, and before taking a profession, taking on a profession, one will study. So studies, work, occupations, they are all meant to be performed in connection with Krishna. This is the point here. That service must be unmotivated and unchecked by material conditions. Then human society will be happy in all respects. So, of course, we've heard this many times, that all of our so-called material activities, when they are dovetailed in the service of Krishna, they are no longer material activities. They take on a spiritual dimension. They come under the shelter and the protection of the Daivi Prakriti, isn't it? So although externally they may appear to be the same, when devotees go out on Sankirtan and drive their van, they're driving a car, and they need to have their driver's license also, and they should know how to drive. It's not that because one is a devotee that he can just jump in the car and automatically drive. But his driving, the driving of that devotee, if his consciousness is proper, and it should, then that driving will not be just an ordinary material driving. The result of that driving will help that individual actually progress and advance in Krishna consciousness. So, but for an ordinary person, he'll see two vehicles, one where a devotee is sitting and driving, and where another person is driving the other vehicle, he'll think it's the same. But for a devotee, someone who knows, it's not the same. That's why Prabhupada explains, Arjuna, who was a Kshatriya, when he finally understood that, yes, I have to take up my duties and responsibilities as a Kshatriya, his killing people was devotional service, with no karmic reaction. So, in other words, those who promote the principles of ahimsa without this understanding, they fail in really understanding what is ahimsa. So we're halfway through the purport. Prabhupada ends here in this paragraph. When the service will be unmotivated and unchecked by material conditions, then human society will be happy in all respects, naturally. In the second portion here, Prabhupada refers to smriti. The smriti, the scriptures following the principles of Vedic knowledge. So smriti means that although it is material knowledge, material sciences, it must follow the Vedic knowledge. It must be in keeping with the Vedic knowledge. It must be performed for the pleasure of Krishna, etc. So here Prabhupada is telling in the purport, the smriti, the scriptures following the principles of Vedic knowledge, are considered the evidence of Vedic principles. So Vedic principles are in the sruti, the evidence, the application of those principles come in the smriti. So it means that Varnashram system is meant to be evidence that we understand dharma. Means we accept and comply with Krishna's system. For those who are here in the material world, the vast majority of whom are conditioned, but even those who may have become liberated will still work within and respect that system. And that system, this is the point Prabhupada mentions here. The smriti, the scriptures following the principles of Vedic knowledge, are considered the evidence of Vedic principles. From another angle, we can look at it this way. The sruti are like the theory, and the smriti are like the practice. Although within the sruti, the whole science of bhakti is there, and those who are ever liberated souls, nityamuktas, who never come in the material world, their evidence of Vedic knowledge is fully, completely within the realm of bhakti devotional service, because they don't have to deal with the material energy. But for us who have come in the material world, coming in the material world means dealing with the gunas, the three modes of material nature. And the whole Vanashrama system is based on or in keeping with the modes of material nature. But actually, those who come in knowledge with Vedic Shastra come to know how, by working within the system, one can transcend these modes of material nature. And externally, I should continue to take on some particular activity or occupation within Varna and Ashrama. But because the consciousness will be different, only externally I may be regarded as a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. But internally, even somebody who's doing the work of a Shudra, for example, he may be a pure devotee of Krishna. Anyone within the system of Varna and Ashrama, by proper association, by proper cultivation of knowledge, can become a pure devotee. Whereas, because actually there are two kinds of Varnasrama, Prabhupada explains, isn't it? This we mentioned, Daiva Varnasrama. Then there is Asurik Varnasrama. The Asurik Varnasrama, one who is Shudra, cannot become a pure devotee. Because he is lacking the dimension of bhakti. To become a pure devotee, bhakti element has to be there. Yeah. So Prabhupada continues, there are 20 different types of scripture for following religious principles, and among them, the scriptures of Manu and Yajnavalkya are considered to be all-pervading authorities. I'm still trying to find, actually, Yajnavalkya's and also the other 20 different scriptures. That's called Dharma Shastra, that deal with Dharma in terms of occupations and duties within the material world. In some other place, actually, Prabhupada explains that of these two, the scriptures of Yajnavalkya are more pertinent or important for us. So that's where brahmanas come in, you know. Brahmanas are needed to deeply study these subject matters. You know, some brahmanas, the different kinds of duties, isn't it, for brahmanas? Some brahmanas, they will just teach. They will study and teach. Other brahmanas will maybe do a little study. I mean, basic study will be there, and they'll concentrate in doing pujas, you know, purohit, priests. Others will concentrate maybe in preaching, and they will not be teaching. Then others will mix all of that, maybe. So like this, there are also what we may call more secular kind of activities for brahmanas, such as the science of Ayurveda or Vastu Shastra. Architecture, different occupations that require in-depth knowledge that can only be attained or cultivated by brahmanas. So different kinds of brahminical activities, so to speak. And here's a nice quote that Prabhupada is giving in the, we'll just end up finishing the, there's two more paragraphs actually. So Prabhupada quotes one nice verse from the Yajnavalkya Smriti. And then he'll quote another one from six Goswamis. Anyway, the first one here from Yajnavalkya. Sruti Smriti Sadachara Swasya Chapriyam Atmanaha Samyak Sankalpaja Kamo Dharma Mulam Idam Smritam. This is easily understood actually, because especially for Hare Krishna, especially for all of you from India, these are more easy to understand. Prabhupada is giving a summary of the verse here by explaining the following. One should learn human behavior from Shruti, the Vedas, and from Smriti, the scriptures following the Vedic principles. Means we must learn human behavior from both Shruti and Smriti. Means we should learn how to be humans, how to be devotional humans. You know, not just what is it? Dvipada Pashu. Most people nowadays are Dvipada Pashu, no? A real human means someone who is in knowledge. So here we should learn human behavior from Shruti, the Vedas, original Vedas, and also from Smriti. The application of that knowledge will come through Varnasam. We have to live somehow. We have to work at doing something. We have to, you know, some economic system has to be there. We have to meet the material necessities of the body. In the spiritual sky, I don't think there's any economic, you know, system. You don't you don't need economic system in the spiritual world, because everything is fully provided. I mean, from one tree, right? Kalpavriksha tree. So then Prabhupada, in quoting this verse from the Yajnavalkya Smriti, Prabhupada then refers to Srila Rupa Goswami, who quotes, who gives a very similar verse. One should learn, okay. Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu says, and all of you have definitely heard this before, Sruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatra Vidim Vina Aikantiki Harer Bhaktir Utpatayaiva Kalpate. The purport is that to become a devotee, one must follow the principles laid down in Shruti and Smriti, like a railway track. Trains usually don't go on one track, nor do cars, you know. So you need two tracks, the spiritual track and the material track. So the purport, this is what Prabhupada writes, is that one is that to become a devotee, to become an ISKCON devotee also, especially, one must follow the principles laid down in Shruti and Smriti. One cannot say that I'm a Vaishnava, I only bhakti. Don't speak to me about anything else. I want to hear only about bhakti, only the holy name. Everything else is my, well, Prabhupada is not, isn't it? One must follow the codes of the Puranas and the Pancharatriki Vidhi. One cannot be a pure devotee without following the Shruti and Smriti. I'm not saying that, I'm just reading the purport here. One cannot be a pure devotee without following the Shruti and Smriti. And the Shruti and Smriti, that's another important point, and the Shruti and Smriti without devotional service cannot lead one to the perfection of life. It means the bhakti element has to be there. So many people, majority of people who study Shastra, who may be well versed in Shruti, you know, unfortunately are what is it
We have one devotee here who is who has the title of
Sonu Chaturvedi.
Chaturvedi. He's not here today. But anyways, means there are many people who have the title, no, Chaturvedi or Trivedi. Majority of Brahmanas in India don't actually know who is Krishna. They know about Krishna, but they don't know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because majority are Mayavadis. I mean, we think that the majority of devotees, I mean, of Brahmanas are devotees. I mean, everyone is a devotee, but actual devotee, isn't it very rare for someone to actually, including Brahmanas, most Brahmanas, they cultivate Brahman. Most transcendentalists, spiritualists in India and all over the world, they're Mayavadis, different tinges. Bahunam janmanam mante gyanavam mam prapajate vastudeva sarvameti samahatma sudulava. If the opposite was true, Krishna would be a liar. His statement would not be true. But Krishna's statement is that very rare for people to become actual devotees, pure devotees, to accept only Krishna, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. So in other words, one may be well versed in Shruti, one may be well versed also in Smriti, but if the bhakti element is missing, one naturally cannot attain perfection. Last paragraph before we go over too much of our time. Therefore, conclusion. From all the evidence, the conclusion is that without bhakti, devotional service, there is no question of religious principles. God is a central figure in the performance of religious principles. Almost everything going on in this world as religion is devoid of any idea of devotional service and is therefore condemned by the verdict of Srimad Bhagavatam. Without devotional service, so-called religious principles are only cheating. So of course in the conclusion here, Prabhupada is going to the more important and central feature, which is bhakti, devotional service. But we cannot just read this last paragraph and forget about the two elements of Shruti and Smriti. Referring especially to the practical demonstration or evidence, as is mentioned here, of our understanding of Dharma. So there's a saying in English, you can't have one without the other. Both, and Prabhupada, I mean, here it is clearly stated, and in other places also Srila Prabhupada explains how. So although Lord Chaitanya came especially to teach us about bhakti, Prabhupada in one place he mentions, you see Lord Chaitanya, he accepted sannyas, he also accepted brahmasam. But mostly Lord Chaitanya emphasized and demonstrated the bhakti element. That's why it's confusing for many devotees. We are known, Hare Krishna devotees, our movement, our cult, is referred to as the bhakti cult, not the varnashram cult. Maybe one day. Maybe one day it will be known as the bhakti and varnashram cult. Not that varnashram will replace bhakti, but then it will be balanced, the bhakti cult and the varnashram cult. Now we're known as the bhakti cult. The application is missing. The evidence of that bhakti is missing. Therefore, it's like walking in a lopsided way. Any questions from our scholars, pandits? Even if you're not a scholar, you can ask questions. Or it's not that if you ask a question, you're necessarily a scholar. But actually, devotees, by nature, by definition, they're all scholars, because they know that the essence, the conclusion of Shastra.
If we want to consider as Upanishads, as Rupa Goswami quoted in the Sriti Mati Purana and Panta.
Yes.
The sloka is a support. Can we say that this is evidence that we have to follow two tracks, Annashrama?
This is one of the major verses that is supporting, that is making that claim. So when we have a personality, an authority, like Srila Rupa Goswami making this claim, and we quote him, then our footage is strong. It means we are standing on something solid. And Prabhupada is quoting Rupa Goswami here, directly also. So when we say, you know, Nana Shastra, that whole verse, so the Goswamis of Vrindavan, they extracted from the Shastra the essence of Dharma on these two levels. Although more prominent, more known, is the devotional bhakti element. You know, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and so many books that are explaining the science of bhakti. But verses like this and others demonstrate that they were very much, they were down to earth, practical personalities also. And they knew the two dimensions, the Sruti and Smriti, the Bhakti and the Varnashram element. We need to remember also how 500 years ago the degradation that we find today was not so high, you know. I mean, the industrial revolution had not taken place, and therefore industry mechanization was not present. And that is one of the main factors, along with other changing ideologies, you know, what they call the age of reason. You know, in Europe, some bright guys, you know, started that. Descartes and all of these, you know. I think, therefore, I am. That's one of the, you know. Different philosophers came out with non-dharmic philosophies. Yeah, that all started in Europe, actually, and then it spread, it was brought to America when people from Europe came to America. Somebody supervising that, or is just okay. Anyways,
Madhava Mukhtar Krishna.
Yes.
You mentioned 7.11.6 in the sixth sloka, that
six?
Mother and father of Naranarayan Rishi.
Yeah.
Yamaraj. Can you just read sixth sloka? Narayana, Rishi Narayana. The Lord took birth.
You mean in the purport?
In the translation of this game.
In the translation.
Sixth.
Oh, number six. Mm. Lord Narayana, along with his partial manifestation, Nara, appeared in this world through the daughter of Daksha Maharaj, known as Murti. He was begotten by Dharma Maharaj for the benefit of all living entities. Very often,
so they are the sons of Murti and Dharma Maharaj. Mother and father.
Yeah, it seems.
Dharma
and yeah.
Krishna.
I'm just wondering,
yes.
Great King Yudhishthira Maharaj. The time both Sruti and Smriti were so nicely followed.
Yes.
And practically there was not much problem.
Yes.
How come it came to such a degraded situation where this there's no control on things where it is not happening? For example, like India now. The constitution never care about cow killing.
Yeah.
So much affecting on ecological, economic, everything.
Yes.
And who was controlling these people and why is it not happening nowadays?
Yes. Well, first point is that even during Krishna's period, 5,000 years ago, there were many things that were not correct. Otherwise Krishna would not have come, no? Krishna came, dharma sam sapanataya sambhavami jugi. So Krishna came, but compared to now, it was heavenly, in the sense that the system of vanasram was known, was followed by the vast majority of people, or at least the kings in those days, they were Rajarshi, the explanation to why it has now degenerated so much. So there were problems at that time. That's why Krishna came, and it just so happened that Krishna's advent, and right after his advent, when he finished his lila, then the age of Kali began, isn't it? So the age of Kali has to happen. And the understanding and explanation that we find in the Bhagavatam was that it all started by the misuse of brahmanical power, isn't it? By this Sringi. And that when brahmanas, when the topmost people in any given system, it's like, you know, when the father of a family goes off or is no longer responsible, then that brings havoc to the whole family. So when the brahmanas also go off, the next to go off are the kshatriyas, because they're no longer controlled by the brahmanas. And if we look at the history of the different kingdoms in Kali Yuga, they were all degraded kings, practically speaking. And that is why monarchy has such a bad name today. You see? That's why, like America, which is promoting democracy, is so down, is so much against, you know, monarchy. They were instrumental in, you know, breaking the monarchy in Nepal, which was one of the more recent kingdoms. Practically, you can count on your fingers how many kingdoms there are. You know, like we speak of the Kingdom of Cambodia, the Kingdom of Thailand. There are still a few kingdoms, but even in Cambodia and Thailand, it is not the kings who are ruling. They are respected because the tradition is there, but now they have, you know, more modern so-called democratic, you know, systems in place. So why it has happened? Because it is destined to happen. Because the living entities, due to their free will, so they engage in all kinds of sinful activities. They have all kinds of unfulfilled material desires, isn't it? Therefore, a Kali Yuga has to be there for all of those wonderful souls, all those wonderful misguided souls, to try and fulfill their material desires. And so Kali Yuga is the degraded age for people. Normally, we are getting a glimpse of something positive because of the advent of Lord Chaitanya. And because of that connection, because of that knowledge, because of the process, because of the holy name, we can learn to overcome the negative influence of Kali Yuga. But that also for a temporary period of time, isn't it? It is mentioned that for a 10,000 year period, this golden age will become manifest in Kali Yuga. And then Kali Yuga will, as the Bhagavatam explains in detail, will continue to become more and more degraded. That's why in one lecture, Srila Prabhupada mentions that we should therefore
not be around after the end of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. Once the movement winds up, then for the next, isn't it 432 minus 15? Because 5,000 years ago, Lord Chaitanya appeared 5,000 years in Kali Yuga, and 10,000 years is supposed to be Satya Yuga. So for the remaining 432 minus 15, whatever that is, it will be hellish and going downhill all the time with practically no hope for salvation, for self-realization. And whatever devotees may be around, they'll probably have to live in caves and live under the, you know, underground, if at all there are devotees, because it'll be totally hellish. We get a little glimpse, isn't it, in the Bhagavatam. People will become like dwarves. So many things. Some of these things, some of these symptoms are already being manifest. People in Taiwan. People in Taiwan. They sell embryos for eating on the market. Yes. There are videos you can see. So, you know, this will be common practice. It's like unthinkable, no? But it's happening. It's happening now. So, very difficult for us to conceive how simultaneously the golden age is supposed to be appearing, and yet all of these horrible activities are taking place. But all of these horrible activities, it's like, you know, if you have a very strong leader somewhere, all of these sinful activities can be by force, if not voluntarily, they can be checked. A small example, like in Gujarat, for example, because you have a strong leader, there's no slaughtering of animals, there's no intoxication, etc. So that's why India, in many ways, I mean, India is the land of dharma, and that's why Prabhupada wanted, as one of his 10 points that he was wanting to present to Indira Gandhi at the time, one of them was that India adopt officially Bhagavad Gita as its message to the world, and its, you know, all of its political policies, economic policies should be based on the Bhagavad Gita. That means directly that, you know, one should support Gandhi's understanding of village life, because economy, Vedic economy, is Krishi Goraksha Vanijam, not industry. So India has deviated, and in, you know, it will need a very strong personality, Kshatriya, who will understand actually these two aspects of dharma, to again bring back India. India deviated from the moment it became independent, unfortunately. All glories to Nehru and others. Yeah, because they followed the Western ideology. So there's a very great need to come back to the actual ideology, the Vedic understanding. And that has to be demonstrated. The evidence of that has to be seen. And that's why at some particular point, you know, India will, if that, whenever that change takes place, will become at odds, so to speak. I mean, from nations that will want to continue pursuing. Who is telling me that just a few days ago? Yeah, Krishna Chandra Prabhu. When he was in Mangalore, picked me up actually when I came to Hebrides. So on the way, he was mentioning how there was a a recent rendering in the Supreme Court that brought a lot of anger and opposition amongst, I don't know how many people, many people here in India. That Supreme Court, rendering was, I didn't read it, I just heard it from Krishna Chandra Prabhu, that in India, at least this is the statement, maybe just like last week or something, in India, as it stands right now, it is against the law and a sin to promote marriage of the same sex. In America and many other countries, it's already been passed and approved as it's okay, you know. The land of the free, democracy, freedom of speech, freedom of action. Yeah, even people are pushing, just imagine, if people are pushing, are putting pressure for governments to allow for sexual activities to take place even with minors if they are consenting. It's like, you know, becoming no limit, you know. When we deal with Varnasankara, because that's when we come out of the Vedic culture, we fall immediately in Varnasankara. No principles, no systems. And so so therefore, you know, up until now, India as a country and its leaders in general, not everyone, have followed, it's obvious, you know, non-Vedic principles and concepts. And that's why when this was recently passed, a lot of opposition, because there are more and more so-called advanced and liberated persons in India who think that we should follow and do like America. In the early 60s, when Prabhupada went to the West, it was the beginning of the of various liberation movements, sexual liberation movement, women's liberation movement. Yeah. All of these, they call it liberation movement because they felt that for so many centuries they were oppressed by the dictates of priests or religious people. But not, of course, there were abuses and there were misdeeds and whatnot. But what people in America have done, they've thrown everything out. You know, as they say, you know, throwing out the baby with the water. So it means that whatever they stand on right now is like ever changing, and it's ever degrading also, because it's like whoever speaks the loudest or whoever convinces the ignorant mass of people, then he will, you know. And then money, as Prabhupada explains also in Kali Yuga, that money, if you have money, you can do so many things, even if you don't have any good qualities, etc. What's the next course?
Kali
Yuga. Our Ramananda Prabhu is giving, he went to take some courses in Kali some months back. Our Manjunath, do you remember Manjunath? He's supposed to come and spend some time here also. Okay. Jai Grantarashma Bhagavatam Ki Jai Sri Bhopari Ki Jai. This guy's probably off. Huh?
It's running.
It is? Oh, okay. You can see the red light?
It's open.
Okay.
Is it really?